rude.
I am today. I am in a mood. I am That's in good. Such a mood
we'll just
today.
Let you talk, then.
Yeah.
I really didn't need to come.
Really?
I'm just joking.
I'm not upset. I just have a funny look. Oh, can you please? I'm not upset.
McCree, can you start us off?
How about last week? Wow.
Last week.
Wasn't that awesome?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, bro.
And very needful. It was very testing or very hard on the flesh.
That's what I was going to say.
Very hard on the flesh.
I was like, it was a blessing, but it was like a lot of correction.
and I believe sometimes in order to get something from spiritually, sometimes the flesh has to take a beating, you know, because, man, it was worth it. It was worth it because spiritually I grew.
Yeah. The spiritual challenge.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it was a blessing. And I mean, it was uplifting and everything and seeing the graduates like and then being there every night. And that was so cool. But then I was like, well, they were preaching. And I was like, oh, there's so much more to do. Like so much more work to put in. Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's like. And not that you ever feel like you've made it, but you think you're doing pretty good.
No.
And then you attend like some services like that and God's like, oh, really? Right. This, exactly. And that? And like, oh, man, I thought I was doing pretty well.
Right. Set the record
That's good.
Straight.
That's good. I'm glad you said that because that there should be that desire to be the best, but also should be the desire to get better. I mean, and that's a balance thing, I think. And most people don't get it. It's hard for some people.
Yeah.
You know, they either are, I'm never going to make it, or I'm the best in the world. I'm God's gift to the world. Right. I mean, there is.
You literally meet so many people, like, if you go to, like, church or you know, attend a church, mm-hmm. you meet so many people on either side of that spectrum.
Yes.
Like, oh, I've just been attending church compared to you guys, like, a small amount of time, but I've met people on, like, both sides.
Yes.
It's like either they're, like, you know, like they're so good and everything's great.
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh my gosh, why am I even trying? Right. I'm just going to bail out now.
It is. And keeping that balance, keeping that sturdy. And that's why I say all the time, just be yourself.
Yeah.
When you're just being you, at least you know you have to improve. At least you're giving God a chance to see the real version of you and you're being real to yourself and you're being real to other people. But that whole, oh, like you just said, there is nobody perfect and there is nobody there's no hope. There's hope for everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but it's just keeping that balance, you know, like, okay, let me just wake up this morning and let me have a good time and let me enjoy this life that God's given me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another opportunity to be the best version of myself, not someone else.
Yeah, just having the attitude every day to be like, okay, I made mistakes yesterday, but today's a new day, so we're just going to try again
until
we get it right.
Yes.
And then, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just, there's this a broad spectrum of things. But you know, like you just like, okay, I'm going to try this again and I'll get it right this time, you know.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stick to it. There's a lot of people, they get discouraged and they use that as an excuse to quit.
Yeah.
So, oh, man. Right.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
You cannot allow, really, you can't allow anything to stop you from doing what God wants you to do at the end of the day. There's no excuses, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although God is full of grace and mercy and long suffering and he's working with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing that I think that God totally does not tolerate are quitters.
Mm-hmm.
He does not tolerate quitters. Now, he'll have mercy on people. He knows people are going through things or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you abandon, you know, when you just abandon things because, oh, this is my excuse or this is my reason or this happened or that happened.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people talk about church hurt or whatever. I'm like, that's not an excuse. You know, that's why I really sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm like, hey, you may not like me. I may not like you.
Mm-hmm.
You may think I'm mean or whatever. Or you may not like my personality or whatever. Just fall in love with Jesus. right?
Yeah.
Get a relationship with Jesus. Find out who Jesus is. Find out who God the Father is. Mm-hmm. Once you find out who they really are, you'll realize, man, I don't have to worry about all... You know, we have to deal with other people as life dictates. But, you know, when your life is, like, grounded in Jesus Christ, you know, God will come along and tell you, no, you can't leave. You can't do this. You can't do... But you'll listen to it because it's like, well, I have a relationship with God. That's why I, like, I get a kick out of a lot of people who, like, say, well, I'm not getting fed here or whatever. And I'm like, that's baloney. Mm-hmm. Because I know the I know that God told me to put up with it. Mm-hmm. I know God told me to just, you know, tough it out, mm-hmm. right? And not to go. This is where God called me. This is where God wants me. Yeah. And I don't have liberty to just go and do whatever I want. But I can say that because, you know, I know what God says because I have a relationship with God.
Right.
But if you don't have, but there's so many people, they think they have a relationship with God. And then they're just like bouncing all over the place and doing whatever they want. And it's like, you don't, you're not serving the same God I'm serving because.
And the devil is such a good manipulator too, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to give too much slack to him and just be like, well, that's what happens.
That's his but, job.
Yeah. Like he attacks your mind in such ways. Cause I've had my, times we all got it away.
This week.
And,
just, you know, we all got
and it. So it's like, the devil really is good though, because he'll convince you that there's no point in praying. Just walk away. Just be done with it. At least enjoy like whatever you have left of your life. Blah 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 blah. He's so good.
Yeah.
His the way he uses the thoughts, mm-hmm. because it's not as direct and bold as you would think. It's very cunning, very sly. And then you just give a little ear, and then you were like way off in left field, and it happens so.
So easily.
Yeah, like people don't talk about that, but it's well, so true. Like
a speaker at the graduation, he used this word. He said, laser focus.
Yeah.
Laser focus.
Yeah.
So many, and people don't really even know what that means.
In this world with all the distractions.
Right. And that is it. That's why it's so easy to get off course, because we're not focused.
Right.
We're not laser focused.
Yeah.
And so many times, have you ever was heading, you was going to the next room.
Yeah.
You was going to the next room.
All the time. And you end up
and you wind up in the room and you're like, what did I come in here for?
Or you end up doing something completely and different.
Completely different because you forgot what you
start
was coming.
Start folding laundry. Yeah. Like, oh, wait, I came
and
here to get
I came
this.
Here to get this.
Yeah.
Yes. Laser focus.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Laser focus. Not being focused on the task at hand.
You go to your phone to check your bank account or something, and you open up your phone and you go straight to Facebook.
Facebook, yes. Yes. Like, yes. Oh, right.
Right.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that does happen. Like absent-mindedness. And you don't even do it intentionally.
No.
That's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's the same thing like when you're trying to deprogram your fleshly side
mm-hmm.
and program the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
all of a sudden you think really
it's
weird.
Like constant maintenance. Literally like all day long.
It is.
Like
it is.
What's that word? Redirecting. You're constantly like redirecting. Like, okay, this is what you want to do, but then you're like, no, redirect.
Like your Google Maps, redirecting.
Oh, that's good. Go
redirecting.
Muscle memory.
Oh, yeah.
You've trained your mind.
Yes.
To every time you pick up your phone, look at Facebook mm-hmm. or YouTube or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you have muscle memory. And so... Man, it's such a subtle trick of the enemy.
Yes.
You have this, you've created this muscle memory to do a certain thing, mm-hmm. Subconsciously. Then when you really want to do something mm-hmm. to get something done or whatever, mm-hmm. that muscle memory kicks in.
Default.
Defaults to a certain thing.
Yes.
It's kind of like that story that Reverend Keckle was talking about where he said, he used a really good illustration. I believe it's a really true story that these cops would train in how to disarm mm-hmm. Somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the training, they would disarm the person, take their gun. And then because they were training, they would hand the gun back to the guy and do it again. And they would do it again and do it again. And then what happened was the cop went out, he disarmed somebody, and then he handed the gun back to the guy because it was muscle memory.
Wow.
Right? Muscle memory.
Yeah.
Muscle memory.
That is so dangerous.
That is.
Really? That is so good. We train ourselves. And go ahead.
Oh, no, just being on autopilot. Because like the other day, I was just minding my merry old way. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I started singing Tom Petty. Like an old song. Wow.
Yes.
I was an American girl. And I'm like, wait, redirect. Redirect.
That is exactly. I mean, like yesterday, I was thinking exactly what you're saying. Like, we are born again. But what is born again is our memory, our mind. But there's still these things in our flesh that we got to got to get out of us.
Yeah.
It's like songs will come up from like years ago. Yes. I haven't listened to Tom Petty. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Like, right. Like, where did that come from?
Years. Like, I listened to that when I was a teenager. Now I'm like, what, 32? So you know what I'm saying?
Tom Petty, wow.
And I was just, and it was like a series of songs. Like, Last Dance with Mary J. Time to kill, and I was like, "What am I doing?"
Wow.
I was like, "No, got to cut it off." Right. It's so weird.
Yeah. And that's that laser focus, staying focused on the task. It's so easy to get off course now because there's so many distractions.
Brings back to what you were saying, the redirecting on like the maps.
Right.
You know when you take the wrong turn and it goes redirecting in 400 feet.
Yes.
And that's how God works. It's like even if you mess up, he's like, okay, turn left to get back
so
to the cross.
So important to read our Bible and pray. It redirects us back to the... And going to church. Mm-hmm. You know, just... And
fellowship.
And I don't understand. All of those. That's good. And that's what I don't understand about Christians... They don't think I don't really need to read my Bible. I don't really need to pray. I don't need to really fellowship with the brothers. I don't need to go to church or whatever, read the Bible. All those things. Mm-hmm. All four of those things are so important as to stay focused on why we're here.
They work together.
Right.
They work together.
Because this flesh, it's just default right back into the world. That's what it's known to just go back into the world, and you're not fighting. It takes over.
We're just talking about like seeing old places and stuff, and we're used to when you weren't living right or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it just brings back all those things, and then you're like, oh, and then it's literally the Holy Ghost is just a constant redirection.
Redirect.
Right. Which brings us back to that subject of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
That God is working discipline in our life constantly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because if you're not disciplined, you just fall back and doing the same old thing. People don't understand. My family did not understand why I was 2,000-3,000 miles away from them. Because they raised me. I was the youngest of 12, and they had all this input into me.
Yeah, you were like their baby.
And I wanted to get away from that. I wanted to get away from that lifestyle. It was all good advice. Mm-hmm. Yes, marry, have kids, have a big old house. But all that stuff takes effort to have a big house, a position in a big job, making money, wife, kid. That's an effort.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that, what they wanted. I wanted what God wanted me to have. And I wanted to go to heaven. That's the main goal, is to go to
heaven.
That's
where your priority was. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And when I got saved, I had to turn my back on a lot of things, including my family and my kids. That was the hardest, my kids.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, "Hey, I thought you loved your kids. If you love your kids, then you will come back there." And I was like, no, I'm trying to make a way so I can bring my kids out of that situation. I want them to know that they can escape from that. And it was so every time I would go to visit for Christmas or any holiday, it was like 3 days. Because on that third day,
as much as you could take.
Because on that third day,
yeah.
I start feeling that whole like that homesickness, and maybe
the longing.
This is not so bad. This is not such a bad place.
I can serve God here.
I can serve God here.
Yeah, yes, that's a good one the devil says.
Oh, man.
Talking about how subtle he is, it's like that. It's like you'll be in like an old environment, and then you just have that tricky little thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you feed it at all, you're just convincing yourself of something that's so wrong.
God still loves you today. Today, this came to my mind. And I was just sitting there like, there is people in hell right now that God loves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. It is, and that excuse of, well, God loved me over here. God, yeah, he'll love you, but you're still out of his will. Mm-hmm. You're still out of, you'll go to hell. God's going to love you there. He's going to love you there.
Yeah.
But you're still out of his will.
Yeah, I think it's so easy for people just to convince themselves that, that God will be there if they set up how they want their life to be.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, God wouldn't want me to be unhappy. God definitely wouldn't. Okay, like your situation you mentioned about your children.
Yes.
Unimaginably difficult. But you could have very easily convinced yourself, God wouldn't want me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, God wants me to be happy.
Yes.
You know, you could so talk yourself into.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean?
Because you're not focused. You're not laser focused on the.
Yeah, but not only that, there. Okay, we I think everyone in this room can agree that they've heard God tell them to do things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then what happens is that people have to make a decision in their mind. I'm going to do what God told me to do.
Absolutely.
Or I'm going to do my own thing.
Absolutely.
And once you override that voice so many times, then you just don't hear it no more.
That, oh my gosh,
that's
so
searing
weird.
Your conscience. Oh, you know?
Absolutely.
I literally
absolutely.
Was just thinking about that. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Keith Green. He wrote like a Lord, You're Beautiful. He was back in the 70s.
Okay.
Anyway, his testimony was, he was a Christian for a lot of years, and he had gotten to this point where he had felt like his heart was like being hardened. So he wrote that song, Oh Lord, You're Beautiful. It was in the middle of the night and God woke him up.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells the testimony of how he wrote the song. It's a beautiful song. Mm-hmm. Sister sang it a few times. But anyway, and he said that God told him, you're the one who's hardening your heart. If you want your heart to be soft again. Just ask me to do it.
Wow.
Because, you know, when he had been serving God for so long, and he was part of like a national ministries, whatever, I don't really know that much about his life. But anyway, he had been tested and he had served God for a long time. And he had gotten to that place in his walk where it was just like the same old 6 and 7. Mm. And it wasn't like he was a new baby in Christ again. So he wrote this song and the words are so beautiful. Right. And it was inspired by the Holy Ghost. But anyway, he talked about praying. He just got down on his knees and he's like, Father, just make my heart like it was, like flesh again.
Right.
Take away the hardened layer.
Yes.
And it's like, that's such spiritual maintenance. Like when you have to do that and realize, it's like, okay, you've done everything. Yeah, you're a Christian. You're born again.
Right.
You have the Holy Ghost. You're doing this. You're doing that. But what he said is overriding the voice.
Right.
You get so used to like, the scripture came to my mind. He knows, they know that are, he... They
he
know
knows
the
those
voice
that are his.
And the voice.
Yes.
They recognize my voice and they hear it.
My sheep know my voice.
Yeah, they hear it.
Yes.
And it's like, have you gotten to that place where you're just like, okay, you hear God, you hear the word, but are you listening, active listening, hearing and listening?
You're
like,
exactly where I'm at. I mean, this is where I've been, I'm really trying to, maybe it was my wife, trying to really laser focus on God's voice.
Oh,
really trying to, more the Holy Ghost of, are you really talking to me? Is this really your voice or is it my voice?
This is so weird.
Or my desires, or am I too much into listening to the world? And it's hard.
It's so weird because you're taking exactly my prayers for like a little while and my thoughts. And everybody here knows the Holy Ghost is real, but this is just like confirming, because I've had the same conversations with God like very recently. And it's so weird that you're just saying basically everything I've said to myself. I've talked to God and no one knows that. I've talked to nobody.
I mean, this yesterday morning, I had two messages that I was going to preach Sunday night. And man, I was listening to a preacher over, he's over 3 hours away. And he said, bah, 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 and the door said, that's the message. I said, oh, Lord, I got already got two messages. I can just flip through here. I'm praying to you. And he already told me. And then, you know, Hebrews 11:6. And I said, oh, Lord, okay. Okay. And then Pastor Rodriguez got up and just went off. And I was like, okay. So many times I second guess that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what it is, correct me if I'm wrong, okay, and I'm sorry for interrupting, I think what it is that what God does, and it's really, it's very challenging, is that God, when God tells us to do things, a lot of times, they are just totally out of our comfort zone. We're in this groove. We're in this thing. We're doing it right.
Wow!
And we're
you're killing me now.
And then the hardest thing for me or any, I'm sure for anybody,
yeah,
is that God's like changes the whole thing.
Changes the whole thing.
Goes in a different direction.
Totally.
And you really got to like grab yourself and pull yourself over to this other track. And it's like, I don't want to do that, you know, because it's so much easier to just
it's so
go
much
and
easier.
Do this.
It was so much easier. Yeah, it's
going down. What do you going downstream instead of fighting against the current?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, because sometimes I've said it before. Sometimes we get a little knowledge or a little success, and we get the big head. And I don't care who you are, everybody goes through it.
Sure.
You get a little success, and it's like, well, God, I can. I know what I'm doing, Lord. I know what I got this all under control. I got this going on.
That goes back to the whole convincing yourself.
Yes. Yes.
You
ma'am.
Just convince yourself, yes, you like convince you're. Yourself. Like, I go to church.
Yes.
I fellowship. I read my Bible. I pray.
Yes.
I do this.
Wow.
I do that.
Back to that balance thing.
And
yeah,
then you're just like, surely he's not talking to me because I've checked those boxes.
Yes.
And he's like, really, little miss perfect?
Yes. And will you humble yourself to come back into the will of God?
Yeah.
Will you humble yourself? Or will you lift yourself up and say, hey, yes, I'm a child of God. I fail. I fell down and we fail. We fail. I mean, God, and again, don't misunderstand me. There's people in hell that God loves. Mm-hmm. But they're in hell because they wouldn't repent, mm-hmm. or they wouldn't change. They wouldn't say,
and
go to God.
The lack of faith and like believing God. What was that city in the Bible that it says that Jesus could only heal a few people?
It was Nazareth.
Nazareth.
And
he
couldn't do much
couldn't
more.
Couldn't do mighty works.
Because of
their unbelief.
Yeah, their unbelief and
Lack of belief. Oh, we know who he is.
Mm-hmm. Lack of willingness.
Familiarity.
Yes, yes.
Familiarity.
Which right. brings me back again, not getting over familiar with God, not getting over familiar with that. Well, I know what God's going to do. Oh, I know God's going to move like this. Because this is the way he's always moved. And I know this is what he's going to do because this is what he's done always in the past. And there's a comfort in that. But there also has to be that willingness to say, okay, God, maybe you want to do this different. Maybe I'm not seeing this exactly the way you mm-hmm. want me to see this. Yeah. I don't want to get in that comfort zone with the Lord and say, well, I don't need to talk to you about this, Lord. I got this today. You know, today's Tuesday. I know what's going on today, Lord. I don't need to check in with you.
Yeah, and that was the point of bringing up that story. If they would have just believed him for who he said he was,
yes.
Think of what he could have did in his hometown.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it could have been like probably the center for some great and mighty miracles among his people. And I mean, okay, you're thinking hometown, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you're thinking where he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So he had childhood friends there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like a whole history.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's us who stops the blessings and us who stops God's plan in our life.
Right, because that was one of the things they said. They said, are not his brothers and sisters with us? Right. And basically what they were saying is I'm married to his sister.
Right. Or
how
I
much
know
better could this
is
do?
Is this not Joseph's son?
Yeah.
Right. Are not his brothers and sisters with us?
Why is this dude special?
Yeah.
You know, what is he doing that different? I went to the same school he went to.
I went to the prom with his sister.
Man, there's who did. And I think that's a lot of times why God calls us out of where we're at. Because sometimes people are not going to accept.
They were over familiar with him.
Not going to get used. They're just.
My point is you can stop yourself and God's plan in your life just by not doing.
Again, the third day. And my family may hear this. They know now why I'm the third day I'm moving.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten familiar. They've gotten familiar. Oh, he's back. This is our brother. This is our little baby brother. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of one. He always comes. It's so irritating. This is my little baby brother. I'm not a baby. And I'm not little. Okay, can we go past? Can you just say I'm your brother?
Are you the youngest?
I'm the youngest of 12.
Sorry, I didn't.
I'm the youngest.
I'm the youngest of the three, and my brother and my sister, they still treat me like I'm a little kid.
Yes.
Like even though I'm married and have a child and everything, they're just like
you don't know nothing.
Yeah,
you're dumb. Like really? Dude, you're still living in the same place, doing the same thing. Yeah. You haven't accomplished anything.
So I can totally understand what it feels like to be the baby.
Right.
Because it's very, and they're always asking me, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? Mm-hmm. And it's like, why don't you worry about yourself? Because I don't ever ask them about their life.
Correct.
I don't ever ask them, when are you going to do this? Correct. Or when are you going to buy this? Or
and that's the deal, especially with my older brothers and sisters. I sometimes we get in discussions about stuff. And I could feel the uncomfortableness because they know where I'm going to is God.
Yeah.
They can talk about their money, their cars, and their, but my focus goes straight to, okay, are you serving God? Are you ready to face eternity?
Wow.
Are you ready to, when the last time you went to church? When the last time you prayed?
Yeah, then they look at you and they say, well, that's the guy I drank beer with at the high school graduation party.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the guy who, slept with so-and-so, whatever.
Yep. Absolutely.
So in their eyes, you don't really hold any clout.
Right.
Right? And you don't have any justification to say anything.
And they're still waiting. This is, what is it?
They're waiting 33 years now.
They're still waiting for this phase to pass.
Yeah.
And for me to come home.
Right.
And just,
You know, one of the most beautiful things I ever heard said was one day my dad was introducing me to somebody and he said, this is my son. He's a preacher. And I was shocked because I thought for sure he acknowledged what I was doing and that it was serious.
Beautiful.
Yes.
You know, right? And so
that is wonderful.
That was like, I always remember that to this day.
Right.
It's like the highest
compliment a man can pay to you.
Right. And just the acknowledgement of your faith and then who you were in God.
Right.
I mean, what more could you ask for? So, you know, that's amazing.
Yeah. That is. And that. Just having that assurance from your father must have did something for your confidence. He saw something in you.
I'm going to say that. I will say this, okay? And I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, but this is totally my life. There's been a lot of things that have happened in my life, and it's taken me decades to recognize what happened. Right?
Oh, wow.
So like in the case of when my dad said that, you know, I chucked it away. I put it into my memory block, but I didn't really consider it.
Oh.
Now you look at it years later, you're like, oh, wow. Really big for him to say that.
Right.
Right. So that happens a lot with me. It's like I'll go back and I'll see something and I was like, man, I didn't see that for nothing at the time. Mm. Right.
I think that's a pretty common experience though, because like there's been things in my life where you just don't realize it at the time.
You just don't know.
And then years later, it's so precious. Like situations that happen or things people said or whatever. I mean, something so small.
Well, that's good because even today I was thinking about we know things in part. We don't know the whole, we don't see the whole picture. You turn me down.
No, just adjusting.
We don't see the whole picture of what's going on. And people make statements to us and people say things to us. And we don't take in all the consideration of what is going on in their life.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to respond to what is being said at the time.
Yeah. It's so valuable when you look back and you see the compassion that other Christians have had on you.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's just certain situations like, because I won't say any names, but anyways, mm-hmm. instead of correcting me or saying, "Your thinking is stupid, why don't you give it?" He just said, "I understand, sister. That's the devil, and that's how he works. And I understand why you feel that way. I understand why you..." And this is a man of God, righteous man of God, might I add. I've been serving God longer than I've been alive. Mm-hmm. And he had complete authority and the right.
Mm-hmm.
He could have torn me up one side, down the other, and just been like, "You're stupid," because I was thinking stupid.
Right.
And I value that so much.
Right.
And that always comes back to my mind. Whenever like situations come up and you have the, I don't know, not the right, but like you want to think about somebody critically,
mm-hmm.
that always comes to my mind. Like, how did they treat you? And then you're like, "Ooh."
Well,
like, be nice.
And I think as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we should be mindful of each other. I mean, not to the point of, "You're right, brother, you should just go and just live in sin. You're right." I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, hey, you mean you've never been in a battle? You mean the devil never jumped on your back and wrote, and you let him ride you for 2 or 3 days?
Yeah, mercy is a big thing about serving
God. Oh, man.
Mercy and just compassion. Lately, every time I open my Bible, I don't care where I'm reading, it mentions the word compassion.
Right.
The compassion of Jesus. And it's like he's trying to drill that.
God's highlighter.
Drill that into me. And it's like, being more a compassionate Christian.
Are you
and
not
compassionate
being compassionate?
Person.
I'm just, that was a joke.
You don't put me on the spot. I'd really have to.
I'm surprised I haven't heard this yet. I haven't heard anybody mention this verse, bringing every thought into subjection to Christ.
Wow. That's a.
I'm swinging it around. I'm bringing it back.
Advanced Christianity again.
Advanced Christianity. Yeah.
Hayes, you only offer the advanced Christianity courses.
Yes. Well, you know what?
The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ is the balance.
Yeah.
Having the mind. Because Jesus was just as real as a man. I mean, if you really look at the way he handled the people and the way he dealt with people, men and women, he handled them like a man. He did not handle them like he was this almighty God and he had all the answers and he was, and not even, and on the other hand, he didn't act like, "I'm not worthy to be the son of God."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't act like, "Well, I'm just here." He said it counted not robbery to be equal with God. But took on the form of a man.
And humbled himself.
Yes. And having that, man, again, you said it, we was talking about it last time, being more like Christ. And man, that stuck with me and that dealt with me. And I begin to think about even now how that wasn't the right prayer to pray. "I want to be like Christ," because Jesus said, "You take up your cross
and walk.
You take your cross. You die." I don't. Again, I want to be what God wants me to be, because there was only one Jesus Christ that walked on the face of. Okay, go ahead.
I got to say this because I was thinking this last night. this is so crazy. Jesus was teaching the disciples, and he said, This is like, this blew me away because I've heard this I don't know how many times. He said, greater works shall ye do than these because I go to my Father.
Correct.
And I thought about that and I was like, that's the humblest thing I've ever heard in my life. That Jesus would admit that you're going to do better, you'll do better things than me.
Wow. I never thought about
that. You see
those
things that I'm doing here? You're going to do better things. Man, that's a humble thing for God to say to people.
Yeah,
right?
Because here's the Son of God. Like,
but if you think about it, his goal was only to reach the 12. His mission wasn't to reach the whole world anyway. It wasn't like, he didn't like, oh, you know, you shared it. When he was those by himself, he only took John, Peter.
Yeah, the inside group.
The inside group. Yeah. He didn't reveal himself to everybody. He didn't do that. That wasn't his goal. Mm-hmm.
That I've never even thought about that. This is why I love doing this and hearing people like how they think, because I never even thought about that.
Well, I preached about that. Yes, I preached about that. I talked about interlopers and about those people who were so. So yes, the deal is that Jesus had like 150 or 120 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the inside crew. Now that he had the 12, of course, right? We know of the 12, but no one really kind of considers there was a group of like about 120 true disciples of Christ who followed him,
right? Because
they were at the end and they were in the upper room.
Yes.
So there was a group of people who were on the inside track with Jesus. But there was also a lot of people who just were like on the perimeter. They were on the perimeter.
I wonder what's their feeding it
right.
Today.
I wonder what's on the menu today. Right.
Who he's gonna heal today? Who?
Right. Exactly. You know, exactly.
Right.
And so he even said it when he was teaching his disciples, because he was teaching in parables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they came to him and he says, it's not given to them on the outside to know these things. It's given to you who are on the inside. And that was like really like big, because there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians and claim to be following Christ, but they're just peripheral Christians, you know? They're just on the outside looking in, right? And that's why I'm like, hey, you want to do this thing? You got to get on the inside track. There is no outside track. Yes. These people aren't making it. Yes. These people on the outside are not making it.
Right.
Right? They're not going to make it across the sea when they go across in the ship, because they're not going to be in the ship with Jesus.
No.
They're not going to make it, because they're peripheral Christians.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. And I'm not, now I understand that we don't make every service or we don't make every prayer meeting or whatever, but that's not what I'm saying.
No, no.
What I am saying is that Jesus Christ and God have to be so real to you that when other things come up that interfere with what God's telling you to do or what God wants you to do, you make that decision. No, I'm going to stay on this side, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's people like Demas who've walked away. There's people like, there's so many people throughout the Bible who walked away.
There's so many people.
There's some people who came back, you know, like John Mark came back.
Exactly.
But the deal is that you've got to be on the inside every moment that you can.
And go ahead. And you was going to say?
No, sorry.
And that's the point of so many times that balance. Jesus had that balance. He knew exactly who he was. He knew his mission.
Mm-hmm.
He knew why he came.
It must be about my Father's
He
business.
Knew exactly. There was no deterring him. There was no wavering him.
Right.
There was no,
not like
won't
us.
You come down from the cross? Why don't you, you know, your brother and sister, they're out. They want to come see you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, won't you let them in? Like, who is my brother? Who is my sister?
Right.
It's not. And it just.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say that if you. I've been reading Acts. I've been looking at Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Acts, Jesus had to bulldoze those people to do what he wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
He had to drive them to do things. They had no intention.
They had to be persecuted.
Yeah, they had no intention to go into other places. They were in Jerusalem. They were in the upper room. They were doing just fine. And God's like, no, you guys got to go out.
Right.
Yeah. You guys got to go out. And so persecution came, and it scattered them. Right. And then even then, they had to send people out because they had to teach them things they didn't know, like the Holy Ghost baptism and stuff.
Right.
And so, and then, you know, Paul and Silas get called of God, and they get sent, and they're sent, and they just have this clear calling from God to go further and further. They had to be pushed to go out and do these things.
Yeah.
And where they went was not comfortable. It was not, it was constant fighting.
Yes.
Paul was, his first missionary journey resulted in him being stoned and left for dead. So being in Christ, God, if we're in Christ, God's going to drive us. He's going to drive us to do things, but not if we're like just content and we're just like sleepy mode and just, you know, I'm a relaxed or whatever, that we should be seeking God. Lord, help us to just know what you want us to do.
Correct.
And Lord, it may not be whatever happens, Lord, I'm trusting you.
Correct.
Because some people, they face persecution, they're done. You know, as soon as they face that persecution, you're like, ah, this ain't
like
for me.
It's like the parable of the sower.
Yeah. I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Right.
But in reality, persecution shows who's real.
Right.
You know, persecution does not like cause us to become Christians. Persecution only reveals who we really are.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Persecution just reveals what you really are already.
Yes.
And hopefully
it reveals your character.
It reveals your character. Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you really believe what God wants? We don't really face any persecution in the United States.
No. No, we don't.
We don't.
Not at all. Again, that balance.
You like that balance.
That balance. It's so hard. You ever try to balance something? It's so difficult.
It's like being
trying
on a tightrope with like two things
it's
in your
just
hands.
So easy.
Right.
It's so hard. We want this easy life. We want this easy life.
Well, the way
life
to heaven is so narrow.
And then we want this hard life where, oh, just everybody persecuting me. Life is so hard. woe is me. Some people just
they
want to be victim.
They
like to be victim.
It's easy.
It's celebrated.
In both of them, there's, again, that balance of that, like, just be what God wants you to. And that's so important, just checking in. Checking in every day.
And we just get so hung up on like our failures.
Yeah. Oh,
which like.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Your mind, literally, if you let it wander, you can just go back and you just look like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. I can't. Yes. You can just go on and on. So like, I just try every day. I'm just like, God, help me just forget the past and live for today. I do my best that
you
I can do
to.
Today.
You
and I'm like, Father, you said if we confess our sins,
our daily bread.
You know?
Our daily bread.
And I just like, that's
not
what
yesterday bread.
Today.
Not last week bread.
So I'm just like, Father, I just come in the blood of Jesus again. Mm-hmm. Just washed anew. It's a new day. Your mercies are new.
But I don't need that. I prayed last week, sister. What are you talking about?
You know, one thing that stood out to me this week at the graduation was
what's that?
When they celebrated the 50th graduating class, right? And they said, this is our 50th graduating class. And then they did a tribute to Reverend Rodriguez being the first class. And the thing that just reached out to me, because we've spoke about this, is consistency, right? That the organization has faced persecution.
Yes, they have.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
And they've been on the verge of just being, you know, dissolved and you know, no longer functioning. And so
major people involved.
They reach out to all the alumni once a year and they say, hey, share something that you want to share with the graduating class. And almost every single year I share pretty much the same message.
Right.
And that message isn't complex. It's not long. No. I saw some up there, they were like paragraphs. Mine said, never give up.
Right.
Never give up. Never quit.
Right.
Right. No matter what the excuses are, don't quit.
Or how big the failures are.
Yeah. Or the disappointments or the hurt or the whatever. Never quit. Right. Yeah. Just get back up. Keep marching.
If you would just.
And that's you said it. It boggles my mind. I was thinking about it today. How is it that God sends you to a place? He saves you in this place. And you just leave. And he never tells you to leave. You never ask him, could you? Because trust me, I've tried to leave. And he said, nope, nope,
yeah,
nope, nope.
And even when.
And there was some things said about me that was untrue.
Mm-hmm.
I was accused of things that wasn't untrue.
Right.
None of it had any facts at all.
Uh-huh.
I did nothing.
Yep.
I done nothing.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, but this is to the point of I made some decisions and I did some things and I was like, but Lord, you know I didn't do anything. But he said, no. If you go, you're going without my will. Mm. And I knew that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I knew that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't understand why people, and I'm not saying this organization is perfect. I'm not saying, that's what I said.
No, I understand.
Some things happened to me.
Yeah.
And there were some things said to me that I was like, why am I coming in the question?
Yeah.
Like, why am I being questioned about
using
X, Y, and Z, nevertheless, God said, no. And if you go back, you got to go back. You got to go back to this point, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this.
I heard by a big preacher in our organization. It was like years ago when I first started going to church. It was at a Bible study, and he shared about this analogy about walking up a mountain. So you're like walking up a mountain when you start serving God, and you know every time you pass, you're going up, and when you mess up, you just got to slide all the way back down.
You do slide,
and then. You have to walk back up, and you'll come back to the very same battle that took you out until you get it right.
Absolutely.
And some people.
Absolutely.
Like, God literally showed me that because I was like, you know, that's probably right, whatever. Mm-mm. But I was, it's true. Wherever you stumble at, God, until you get it how He wants it to be, you're going to stop at the same point every single time. Mm-hmm. Now, He may build you back up. Oh. Give you a little bit, maybe more time.
Not to get into details about the exit and coming back, but when I came back, and when I was whatever was happening, was happening again, and it was even more intensified, and I never forgot. I was somewhere cutting grass. And the devil said, see, it hadn't changed. You might as well quit. It ain't done. You're not gonna make it this time. You done failed last time.
One of the biggest challenges, and I am not finding fault with anybody. Okay, let me make this extremely clear. I am not pointing fingers, I'm not finding fault with people. But one of the biggest challenges in serving God is people are going to fail you. We know this, okay? We acknowledge that people are going to fail us.
We fail,
but hold on to your seats. At the highest level.
At the highest level.
People are going to fail
you. Yes, they are.
They're going to say hurtful things to you. They're going to say things that aren't true. I'm not saying that they're lying.
As I said to her, we know things in part.
Right. I'm not going to say that they're lying. Okay.
Yeah. No.
The way they see it,
they
think that that's what it is.
That's what they know. Okay.
But they're going to say things that are going to hurt you deep. They're going to cut deep.
Absolutely. Okay?
And a lot of people think, well, that's unfair.
Right.
That's unjust.
No, it's not.
That's not right that they did that to me or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
But the reality is that you still got to serve God.
Thank you.
And you still got to go forward.
Thank you.
And you still got to put your game face
Who
on.
Who are you serving?
Right, exactly.
Who are you living for?
Yeah. And there's no church that you're going to be involved in where you're not going to face something of that magnitude and have to reach inside of yourself and say, am I doing this for God or not. Because God's going to tell you, you can't go. You are going to have to eat crow pie.
You're going to have to
sit there and smile.
Right.
You're going to have to sit there and eat that.
Absolutely.
Right. Even though they may be saying absolute falsehoods about you.
Right.
You know, and I like something. I'm going to say this. You know, this is a thought that popped in my head, and it is kind of like it's just tangential, but I hope I don't lose it now. Pastor Davis said something about, I'm not going to let this other person send me to hell.
Correct.
Okay? Yes. I'm not going to let this other person send me to hell.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely. That people will do things, even in leadership or whatever,
this week, bro,
that are going to challenge you to quit.
Bro, I said
they're
going to
challenge you to just...
absolutely.
And they may legitimately be wrong.
They may be.
They may legitimately, they may whatever be. They're doing, they and God will be. Give them... The God will give them license to do that.
Right.
God will give them license to do that.
Absolutely.
And you have to sit there and say, I'm bigger than this. God's bigger than this. And you have to be willing to look like a criminal.
Right.
You got to be willing to look like the bad guy in the story and be able to smile and say, I still love you, God.
Right.
I still love you.
Right. But God chooses people and put them in leadership sometime, and they're not correct. I remember one time as a pastor, I said something to someone, and they went and did it. And God honored it because I was the pastor of the church.
And you told me to do it. Yeah.
Not because it was the right thing to do. It was because God had me in that position.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I prayed and I said, God, God, make that right. Lord, make that right.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, because you, as a man and a woman, you don't see the whole picture. And you're just going on what you think, you know, God. And sometimes people don't have time to pray and give you the answer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they feel like they got to address it now. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be addressed.
And a lot of the time people just don't have the ability to just let go of things. And they live retrospectively. They're always looking back at like what should have happened.
Right.
Or how this person should have handled it.
Right.
And it's like, okay, first of all, we're all filled with mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And
we live in this big mistake.
This was the thing I was going to say is that Pastor said, it's good that I'm paraphrasing what he said. It's good that I'm being judged for what they're saying about me, because if they really knew me and judged me, mm-hmm. it'd be a lot uglier.
Oh, wow.
It'd be a lot uglier.
Well, it's true.
You know,
if we really got what we deserved.
Did you really have to say that?
Yeah.
If we were really judged for who we are,
none of us would be here.
We wouldn't be
bro,
here.
Bro, no, we all be in hell, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, literally,
and
like,
that's,
so
that's
many
the thing,
times.
That's what we all deserved. And the only thing that makes a difference is the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, we make mistakes. Yes, there's shortcomings. But it's like, if you're trying to make it, you're trying to make it right. That's what the difference is. It's like,
that's why you got to be thinking about Jesus being whipped and Jesus being beat and Jesus being spat upon and insulted and just whacked over the head with a rod and punched and having his beard pulled out, cramming that crown of thorns in his head. And you got to look at that and you say, I deserve that.
I deserve that.
Yes. That's me right there.
That's the whole deal. Go ahead.
The right thing to do is to forgive others. Like when you're the one in the wrong,
you want mercy, forgiveness.
Right. Especially leaders.
And that's like,
especially forgiving leaders.
It's so hard, like, because when you feel you've
leaders,
been wronged.
Non-leaders, that whole deal.
This is the lie that the devil loves for people to believe.
Yes.
Well, they're in charge, so they should be better. Right.
They should be unhuman.
So they should be above these things.
It's like God uses
people's weaknesses
to
beat us into subjection.
Thank you. I'm glad you said it that way. God, the devil used people, weakness, leaders, non-leaders, church members, sinners. He used that to try to tell us, see.
Give us excuse to quit.
Yeah.
But God uses it to create humility in us.
Should.
It we hope. Should. Yeah, no, exactly. But
there
that's what I'm
should
saying.
Be a,
that's what we should come to the conclusion of.
Like, oh,
God, have mercy
Lord,
on my soul.
We're nothing without you.
Lord, and pray for this
we're
man.
Nothing without
Lord, help
you.
That man.
Yes, we're nothing. Oh, he cursed me out, Lord. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you again.
Pride
I have
is,
to go back
pride
to
is
the,
just
to the,
powerful.
The
enemy.
That,
yes,
the
sir.
Graduation. That guy and his wife and his daughter behind me. All I could do is like, boy, Lord, have mercy on them. Please
yeah.
show them mercy on them. Please.
Yes.
I didn't look like, I hope this guy's truck blows up when he goes out.
Oh,
he
that,
not
you're
know
talking
that
about
I'm
that
a,
one. Yeah, I
that. I'm
okay.
a man of God. He's distracting yeah. your, God, you say touch not your anointed and do your, you know.
Yeah.
I was like.
Listen to this one. Listen to this one. Let's go to graduation in the college, the seminary. Mm-hmm. And I looked at those people and they were telling, oh, go do great things and this, that, and the other. And I thought, and the devil came up and he said, wow, look at all the great things you did, you know, because I've gone out and just
right.
nothing happened.
Right.
right. Right. And I stopped and I said, Lord, don't let these guys go through what I went
yes.
through.
Yes. Yes.
Give them success.
Yes.
Lord, wow. give them success.
Yes.
Because my prayer,
yes.
my heart was
that's
like,
so beautiful.
My heart
yes.
used to be, and I hate to say this, it's
oh,
ugly,
no,
but
yeah.
my heart used
Come
to be,
on.
Oh, yeah, you're going to go out there and
you're
going to fall flat on your face. And whatever.
Oh,
and a lot
bro.
Of people did.
Bro.
A lot of people did.
Bro.
And then I stopped and I said, Lord, this is horrible.
You know,
I know I've gone through this. I don't know why I've
man.
Gone through this. I don't know what the reasoning is. But all I can say is, God, please don't let these kids go through that. Please don't let them
That's
have
funny.
To go through that same challenge.
That's funny. I said at that graduation, I was talking to a fellow minister, and I said, oh, they got to go through it. And he said, they don't have to go through it.
They don't have to go through it.
I said, yeah, they do. He said, no, they don't. And we sat there, and he said, why do they have to go through it? If they just believe God and have the faith that God wants them to have and obey God and
wow.
do what he wants them to do. They don't have to go through the same thing you went through, Brother McCree. I said, all right, sir, bless you. And I walked
yeah.
I got to go.
yeah. Right. Well, you know, and that goes to the same thing. It's like, you know, they make an accusation, whoever,
mm-hmm.
and says, well, you failed because you didn't have enough belief or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I could challenge that. I could challenge that. I could say anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I stopped and I started thinking about this stuff. And there's a lot of people in the Bible who went and did exactly what God told them to do. And they got nothing for it except a big smack in the face.
Right.
Yep. And
right.
they got put in stocks. They got
right.
done all these
right.
different
martyred,
things to them.
Right.
They martyred
right.
for it. Stephen
right.
got martyred.
Yes.
To lay not this sin against their charge.
Yes.
Our leaders should desire success. They
right.
should.
Right.
And they should say whatever they got to say to promote success and
yes.
to diminish any contrary thought to the effect, okay?
Right.
So the best thing I think is I was praying. I was like, God.
Right, exactly.
I could either be bitter and say, well, I believed for success. I believed this
right.
and I believe, well, no, you didn't really. How do you know what
right.
I did or didn't
right.
do, think or whatever?
Right. Right.
But with that being said, yes, sir, I'm in your corner.
Right.
I'm a team player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in your corner. We're praying for these people to have success.
Yes.
And I really deep down in my heart pray to the Lord that they don't go through what I went
Correct.
Through.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And if
Correct.
There was some flaw in my life that was the reason why I didn't succeed,
Correct.
Lord, get that out of them so that they can succeed,
yes.
please.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Right? Just so that they don't just so that they can come back
right.
and celebrate with everybody else and say,
right.
yes, I succeeded because that's
exactly.
what I was trained to do.
Exactly.
And da, 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 da.
But that's part of the whole deal is learning to know that it's all for God's glory.
That's right. And it's about love.
In having
wow.
love and compassion for each other, not
yeah, for
yeah.
everybody.
Not this whole like,
mm-hmm.
well, what are you doing, brother? Or what are you doing, sister? Or why do you got this? You know, that whole
the
Corinthians.
The compassion thing. You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about, oh man, I feel so bad, but I'll just say it, whatever. You guys know me, you're my brothers. But God told me, why did I pray so hard for certain people and other people I don't? Why do I value more one soul over another? And the way you pray, all that pricked my heart, because right. Jesus doesn't look at us that way.
No.
He sees every soul as valuable as the next.
Yes.
And so the hours I've spent praying for one person, right? And then maybe someone who comes out to church, I'll spend a little bit of time mm-hmm. in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And God is just like, that's not right. And I felt so sad. Like, I was so grieved in my heart. Like, the love and compassion. Why do you have it towards one person mm-hmm. and then not towards another?
Correct.
Like, you pray for someone to get Correct. Saved. There's a difference. If you really love somebody.
Yes.
And, like, how you pray, like, intercession. You know what I'm saying?
About different praying for different people. Why is it you're more, oh, that brother, someone got saved, or this other brother, he's in the church and you know he's struggling. You're not even like, hey, bro,
yeah.
let's fellowship so I can lift your spirit up. You know, in Corinthians, they was talking about how can the hand say to the feet, I don't need you. And you mentioned to me this weekend, it was a wonderful thing you said. He said, brother, we need each other.
Yeah.
You said that to me. I was like, wow.
This is so true. We do need each other.
We're so many times, it's hard for us to understand. Every time's brand new Christian. We need you. Hey, bro. That Christian that been over that corner, all he does is he fights just getting to church every day. Mm-hmm. And he's been coming to church for 5 years. And the only thing he's just been doing, he's been constantly, he's been one man. And when I say this, that man who comes Sunday night, every Sunday night, there's a battle for him. He came last night. Mm-hmm. And you could see it. I said, hey, man, he said, I got to get home. Someone, I said, hey, you made it though. And it took us 3 years to get him to come to church. Mm-hmm. And he's been coming every Sunday night. Mm-hmm. He's missed one Sunday night that I know of in the last 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a giver.
And
such a blessing.
And I told him, I said, that's why I tucked him in the back. I said, you know that Sunday school money that you've been getting? Here. Look at that fellowship hall. Look, that's what's your money is not just going somewhere. It's going to help. And so many times we forget we need each other. We need each other. We do. Regardless of, my wife said something to me. I think she texted me. She said, I love you. I see. I like you too.
I say that all the time.
She goes, yeah, I like you too sometimes. We don't like how sometimes we just don't like what's going on. Our emotions, we get that emotion or whatever is going
human.
On in our bodies, or we didn't eat, we get that grumpiness and mm-hmm. we're like, I don't like the way you look today. Okay. But still, I need you. I need you to be here. Mm-hmm. Like this right here. I was looking forward to just being here in you God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that as a, you know, I think we've gotten to a place, and I'd say it, we don't realize how important it is just to be in each other's presence sometimes. Not to harass each other or, well, you're just saying that, bro. No, I mean that. It's we build each other up when we just like, hey, we're here.
Yeah.
We made it.
Yeah.
We made it today.
It's like those Sundays when you come in and like stuff's going on or whatever. And like, you just know sister's there with her big smile. And you're just like, ah.
Yes.
God's here. God's people are here.
Not this.
It's like such a relief. Like, you're just like, I know I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, ugh.
Oh, I know we're probably over, but I'm sorry.
I don't know.
It's about that time.
But it was.
There's so much we want to talk about.
So much we could talk about. And thank you for letting me be here.
We try to keep it at an hour so that people don't look at that number when they download it and say, I don't want to listen to 2 hours of that.
Yeah. Right.
We're not at 2 hour limit right now.
No.
We're at barely an hour.
We're not Joe Rogan.
We are not Joe Rogan.
I'm not Joe.
We're
Rogan.
Not a Christian version of no. Joe Rogan. We're just
well. His podcast runs for what, like three hours?
Yeah.
Oh, are you serious? Same with
Lex yeah, that's Freeman. Why. That's why I said that. His podcasts are like 3 hours long, two and a half, three.
Yeah.
No.
But that's not us. So God bless everyone. Thank you for joining us today. And next time we'll pour our souls out again. Bye.
Bye.